How's everybody this morning? You know what I love? I love that it's raining. I love that it is New Year's Day. And I'm going to read tweets and Facebook posts later about all the dismal weather and dismal attendance at church. And you guys are up front singing and worshiping. And so thank you for bringing that to us and for bringing that to God that we can worship together. Thanks, Don and Wendy, for stepping in and leading us in worship today. This is a good day. Did you have a good Christmas? Yes? Is anybody still kind of waking up? No?
I wasn't sure when I walked into worship this morning. I looked up, and I thought at first Don was leading you in YMCA. All I could see was this. So I had no idea what was going on. But, guys, good to see you this morning.
Yeah, we're doing something a little different, as you can tell. And I think I just saw Karen look at her watch when you walked up with me.
I've put a timer on Mark's iPad. It's going to go off at the appropriate time so that we'll know we're finished.
Yeah. We're doing something a little different today. Before we get into that, I just wanted to say hi to a friend of, I know we've got several guests here today, but Will, we're glad Will's here with us today. You all go see Will. Will helped us start Journey and led us in worship for a long time and is now, he's a professional in Seattle, Washington now, Unim Claw. And so we're glad that he's here in town visiting family, so we're glad he chose to be with us. Did you bring your guitar? Well, we've got one up here, so just be prepared in about 35, 40 minutes or whenever Scott stops talking, then you can come up.
Oh, man. You know, this tag team stuff can be fun, but I'm not sure this. That's two hits on me already today, I think.
Yeah.
And how many of you guys, how many wrestling fans do we have? Come on, go ahead and admit it. I know Josh is back there. When you have tag team events, you know how choreographed that is? Don't expect that this morning.
Yeah.
It's not going to look like that.
Yeah. Towards the end of last year, we really wanted to start this first year talking about what we believe was the most important thing for us as a church to do. And when you say it, I make a statement like that, it's very difficult to really nail down what is the most important thing that a church should be doing or that we should talk about to start a new year, because there are so many wonderful things that you can do. One of the most important things that we are called to do is to worship our incredible God, our incredible Savior, and make Him known in the world. Just the value that He is and how wonderful He is. That is a great thing for us to do, and that is what we desire to do on every Sunday worship experience or every worship experience that we do, whenever it is. And we hope that we do that in our lives, not just on Sundays. But what we wanted to talk about was what we believe Jesus wanted the church to be focused on as He left. And Don, that was a great segue, because we started talking about discipleship. What does it mean to be the church, and what is the most important thing that we as a faith community can do? So we wanted to spend some time talking about discipleship. And kaleo is literally the Greek word that means to be called. We are actually called to do something. We have been led to do something. And in 1 Peter 2, 21, you can turn there if you want, but you don't have to. We're going to look at a few other things as well. Literally says, "For this you have been called to follow the example of Jesus." And so we wanted to kind of kick off the new year. In years past, we've kind of had the first Sunday of the year has been where we've just kind of laid out where we think we're going for the year. We've learned really after the first year or two of that really doesn't matter what we stand up and say are going to happen in the next coming year, because we're not in charge of that. God is in control of what is going to happen. But we wanted to come up together and just kind of lay out where we believe God is leading us as a community, where God is going to take us in this next year. And we ultimately believe that this is a calling that God has given us. It's not unique to us.
No.
Because it's really a calling He gave to all churches, to all believers of all times. We just think we're honing in better on what does that look like in Chattanooga. So we're going to share four things with you today, and a few little sub-things with that as well. What I hope that you'll take away from this is you'll hear Scott and I share what God has been doing in our lives and has been moving us towards a consistent motion. Now, for those of you that are new to Journey, the reason that Scott and I are up here together and we're going to kind of do this together is because about 4.5 years ago, the two of us sat down at a Loopy's in Hickson, and sat down and said, we really ought to work on starting a church in Chattanooga that reaches people that don't go to church normally. We knew there wasn't a need for a church, that just did, well, you know, the
they looked like everybody else.
Thing that was going on, because there are plenty of people doing that and doing that really well. But we knew that there needed to be a place that did it differently. And so that has been our goal. That has been the driving force behind us, to honor God by leading people to be devoted followers of Jesus who might not be a part of any other church in town. And so that's why we look different, act different, and do all those things. And we actually got together at Loopy's again.
Yeah, that is our, if you want to know where our office is, you may ask, where is your office, what our hours are, it's whatever Loopy's hours are, because that's where we always meet.
Yeah, which means Monday, don't go.
Yeah, don't go on Monday.
We found
closed.
That out, yeah. So we want to share four things that God, in the last 4 years, has taught us. And interestingly enough, because if you know Scott and I, we're not identical.
No, we would look like the most awkward tag team you've ever seen. It would be like in, what was the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito, brothers or twins, whatever. That's kind of the way we are. We're that much different from each other as far as our personal likes and hobbies and...
Well, which one am I then? And I don't know that I like that
character. You'll be the little short, fat one.
I'll be...
Hey, he asked. He should have known better, guys. I mean, come on.
I'll be Arnold and you could be Danny.
See, and this is the difference in our personality. He starts these things, I finish them, and then we go on. So,
and anyone under about 45 doesn't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh.
Aren't you glad you got up to come this morning? This is
so
honoring God.
So edifying, yes.
Okay, can we play nice?
Yeah, we'll play nice, all at least for a little while.
Okay. Well, honestly.
Wait, I need to stall. He's looking for his icon.
I'm trying to get my thing to not turn off so I can continue through this conversation. Four things we wanted to talk about with you today is especially for those of you, how many of you, we ask this and there's always hands, how many of you have been with us since we started 4 years ago? That is phenomenal.
That is awesome.
And everybody awesome. Before we started Journey said you would not be here. You would be here for the first few months, but then you would be gone. And you guys are still here, still a part of this, and we are so thankful for that. We wanted to share just a few things of celebration of things God has done in the last 4 years through you and through Journey and what we have experienced as a group. And for some of these, you may not know what's going on. One of the things that when we sat down and we talked about what can we celebrate, a lot of the things we really can't even share with you because they are just hard-fought battles people have gone through in their individual lives and following Jesus.
Just painful, life-changing events that folks that we have had a ministry to.
Yeah,
that we can't share details and stuff, but we have certainly seen God work in ways that are just amazing.
Yeah,
and it's behind the scenes, and I think God works that way a lot of the time. That He's it's not necessarily like we read in the Bible where there's this miracle that everybody gets to see to show God's glory. Sometimes He's working individually, one-on-one, with somebody that's a hurting person, and we've been just so happy to be a part of that and be used in that area.
Yeah, and I would say. Does anyone here have a similar story that happens in your life? It does in mine. Many of the things that God does so that are just so incredible are things that no one else sees. Isn't that just horrible that you've experienced these incredible things with God, but no one's there to watch it with you, but you know that God is at work within your life, and so we're thankful for those things. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to be reading out of the English Standard Version. It's going to be on the screen, or it's going to be on YouVersion. If you want to follow along on YouVersion as well. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing," which is something I have to remind myself, and many of us have to remind ourselves, we didn't do this. It's not what we have done. It's not even really our response to it. God has done this. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. It's not a result of work so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship. God made you. God made me. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God created you and I for good works. And the first thing that we said when we sat down and said, well, what are some things that we can celebrate together of what God is doing in the community of Journey? And the first thing that came to both of our minds was Advent conspiracy. You guys killed it. I mean, you literally killed it. We had an initial goal to build one well through 1040 connections that was going to be $864. Yeah. And we thought, surely we can scale back enough at Christmas so that we could provide a clean water well in India. And the reason we went with 1040 connections is because wherever they built a well, they planted a church. And they let the church be the organization from which the well would be built. So in that community where mothers and fathers and children were getting water that would literally kill them, in that community, they are now receiving life-giving clean water through a church that is also sharing the gospel with them. So our initial goal was $864, and at the last count, we were over $6,000 that has been given to Advent Conspiracy. Wow. That is huge. Now, here's another reason it's huge, is because there are some other large, enormous churches posting big numbers of what they have given, and this is not a bragging thing too much, but I went back and did the numbers for the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people that go there and the amount of money they raised. And one of the things that just hit me, you guys gave incredibly huge gifts sacrificially for the size church that we are. And I went back and looked at the average number of people that are here on any given weekend and the amount of money that was given. That's a God thing. I just want to thank you for what God is doing through you, with us, and being generous. That's just enormous. So in the end of the day, right now, we are at training 40 church planters and planning 4 wells. That's 4 communities that will have a church and a well in the nation of India.
That have neither.
That have neither because of your effort. So that was a huge thing. Yeah. What are some things?
One of the other things, too, just Advent Conspiracy that I thought about this morning as you were saying that, and it hadn't struck me till just now, how many times I opened up a conversation about Christmas and the meaning of Christmas using Advent Conspiracy. Because how many people did you have a conversation with that said, oh, I've got to get my gifts bought, or we get so tired of exchanging gift cards, or we get so tired of this, and you know, it seems like, and especially among Christians, that Christmas has just lost its luster, and it's, man, that was a perfect opportunity to say something about Advent Conspiracy and the true meaning of Christmas and why we're here on this earth. And, you know, I just thank God that was able to do that with several people, and just so appreciate that, and again, your generosity.
Yeah, that's one of the ways that you know when God is doing something in a community is their willingness to give to others. Give to others financially, give to others through service, give to others through building relationships. Those are some of the ways, because we don't naturally do those things. No one naturally does those things. We are God's workmanship, created in the image of Christ for good works. That we are created, we will do those good works. It's just in our DNA, and we're so excited about those things.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Kids ministry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the things that, I don't know if you noticed, even on a day like today, a rainy New Year's Day Sunday morning, we've got tons of kids this morning still, and we have tons of people working with our kids. And I was just sitting here thinking, you know, I probably can't get a demonstration of some of these things. We have a lot of men that work with our kids, and I am so proud of that. So yes. Many churches do not have a male influence in their children's ministry. And guys, frankly, there's a lot of children don't have a male influence in their life, period, these days. And we're so thankful for that. And what I was going to do, and I just didn't know if we could pull it off, I was going to put the Slinky song up here and get Josh and Kurt to show us the dance moves. But, you know, we might get them too late.
Hey, can you do that, Sean? We'll give you about 5-minute lead and find the Slinky song. We will make that happen. I didn't know that. Yeah, we will make that. Then look at him. Yeah. He's getting lower in his seat. Josh is starting to move his chair towards the door.
It's great stuff.
Listen, yes, that is huge. And out for my boys, the fact that you guys do that you're teaching my boys how to be men. You're helping me. You're partnering with me to do that. I love it. I love that you guys do stuff that you're not supposed to do in church.
By the way, please, before you punish Jonathan, come and ask if either I or Jason started it. You just really need to do that. We probably have gotten poor Jonathan in trouble more for horsing around in church, and Deidre rounds the corner and gets the mom's voice and look, and I'm like,
it's mostly Jason.
Started that. It's slinky. Well, that's not the exact one, but
that would work.
That'll work. Can you come up with some moves for that?
Yes. So the kids ministry is huge here. We put together, we gave away poinsettias for kids workers, and Deidre and I are always talking about the need for more kids workers, primarily because we have such a high percentage of kids to adults. And so she was putting her list of how many poinsettias we needed to give away, and we both looked at each other like, I had no idea that many people were working in it with our kids. It's huge.
I mean, on a given Sunday, we probably have adults and children combined, 30% of the total attendance here is back there in kids.
At least.
It's crazy.
At least, yes. Kids ministry is huge. And what I loved, you know, so many of you work with kids. I just see you sitting out here right now. It is not babysitting, is it? We don't babysit here. We invest in the kids. We're training them and teaching them. I love that. John and Pam work, they develop all our curriculum for our dive and our launch classes. And you get the three steps on the journey that you get to take home with you. That's training your kids. That's not just babysitting. So that is huge. Another thing for me, and I had kind of a heartbreaking conversation this week with another church planter. After 4 years, almost every church that we started with is now gone. And there was a couple of holdouts and had some just heartbreaking conversations that they are about gone. They're about gone. And
it's some that started after us.
And some that started after us.
That haven't been able to make it.
One trend we have seen is that when you start a church, one of the largest determiners of success, and again, this is your definition of success, but if you've got an enormous mega church funding you and pushing you and resourcing you, you can go a whole lot farther than a little church like Journey. And one of the things that I'm so thankful about, not only are we giving wells, but we're a pretty much self-sufficient church, and I'm thankful for that. You guys give of yourselves, and that is huge. So that's another thing to celebrate, is that not only have we made 4 years, because that sounds really, we made it.
Whew! 4 whole years.
I don't know if we did another four, but we made four. That's good. No, I don't mean that, but it's just significant that we're still here, still serving, and have so many people that started with us.
And knowing the struggles that we face and they face as well, that it's just, it's God's hand. Yeah. That has enabled us to accomplish that.
Yeah. I put some numbers together. I can't get off this generosity thing. When we talk about celebration, for me, I just can't get over generosity. These are the things that just in the Christmas season that you guys did. We gave over 40 Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes away. Over 40 boxes. That was a great thing. Many of you involved kids in that, which was great. We do that. Journey provided Christmas for three different families who could not provide Christmas for their kids this Christmas season. And then the 1040 stuff that we mentioned. All of that happened in about a three-month period of time. Thank you for that. That is cause for celebration, because the kingdom is built when we give of ourselves. That's what Jesus did consistently over and over again. And the church isn't here just to give stuff away. We do that because we follow Christ. That's part of our DNA. That's part of just what makes us followers of Jesus. But that's not the mission that we were given. That's just what we do while we're on our mission. And you guys have done that in a stellar way. And I'm looking forward to what we're working on for the coming year. So far, we mentioned that we're going to be working towards building a ramp for a lady who is, through Lyme's disease, can't move. So we need about another $300 to $400 for the materials, and we're going to build her ramp so she can get out of her home. And so that's another project we're going to be working on. Room in the Inn is another organization we're continuing to partner with. There's a sign-up sheet in the back that you can give, bring a meal for that if you have any questions. Kathleen, if you just raise your hand, some of you may not know Kathleen, she'll answer them. We do that pretty often. We'll provide a meal that the staff will serve to those that they're reaching out to at Room in the Inn. So that's, we're going to do that. And what is the date that we're going to be bringing those? So 2 weeks from today, we'll be bringing that food here, and it will be delivered there. And then the one other thing that we mentioned, you want to talk about the discipleship team.
Yeah, the discipleship team. One of the things that Mark and I don't know, hopefully you have noticed it more and more, Mark and I talking more and more about the process of discipleship. We want to see people become true disciples of Christ. We want them to live it out in their lives. I was really thinking about discipleship when Don was singing this morning, the Leland song. Listen just a couple of lines. I'll follow you into the homes that are broken, follow you into the world, meet the needs for the poor and the needy, God, follow you into the world, use my hands, use my feet, to make your kingdom come through the corners of the earth until your work is done. Man, that's discipleship. That's God leading us into our communities to be Christ to them, to be Christ here on earth in our day and time. And one of the things that we're looking at is we have a discipleship team that's been meeting. And basically what this is kind of a brainstorming team that has gotten together to try and determine what discipleship looks like. It's a big word, but everybody defines it differently. What's a disciple? What does discipleship look like? Well, I think that song may be better than anything describing the end results, but how do you get there? How do you practically take someone that may come from a church background, may have never been in church? In our case here, lots of folks here weren't going to church before they came here. How do you take them from where they're at in life, whatever point that is, and get them to where they are true disciples of Christ, doing the things that Jesus would have them do here on earth? And that's what this discipleship team has been doing. We've been meeting for 2 or 3 months now, a couple of times a month usually, and just sitting here trying to hammer this out. And not only that, all of us are growing as disciples through the process. We're learning more and more as we go along and learning from each other. You know, what is this going to look like? How do we do this? And guys, we are so excited about that. That is just, it's really why we exist still. I mean, the whole thing, you know, journey, the name, you know, we're on a journey. And none of us have arrived yet, and even, you know, we'll never arrive until we leave this earth. But we really want to be part of that process and pushing us down that road to where we're the people that we think Jesus wants us to be. And that's what this discipleship deal is all about.
Yeah, literally the Great Commission says, as you are going, make disciples. Don't just make a disciple, which is what we sometimes fall into. Don't just get somebody saved and baptized, but teach them to obey all the commands of Jesus, which is what it means to really follow Jesus. And if you're like me, one of the things that as I get older, the things that used to be important to me aren't as important to me. As a believer, as I grow in my faith, I am connected more with people who are growing in their faith. And when we get together, it is not always a love fest of how wonderful God is and how wonderful Jesus is and how easy the life of a Christian is. Sometimes we just sit there and commiserate about how difficult it is following the commands of Jesus together sometimes. But we always leave with the time that we are encouraged and we believe that God is doing great things in us, and we recognize that the transition from just Mark doing whatever in my life, however I want, to following Jesus in every avenue of my life, it is a journey and it is a process. And we want to help people to make that in a way that makes sense, that is real, and it leads to truly experiencing the power of Christ within their life, not just more activities to add to your life.
Yeah, and in our community too, and growing up here as I did in the buckle of the Bible Belt, so to speak, there is so much emphasis put on Sunday morning. It's all about Sunday morning. Sunday morning is just a small part of the week for a disciple. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a great place to come here. We need to be here. We need to recharge each other. We need to be able to come here and worship together. We need to be able to come here and lean on each other for support. But what really happens after Sunday morning is where so much of the discipleship comes in.
Yeah.
It's what you do at your job. It's what you do when you're in school. It's what you do with your family. It's what you do with your friends. It's how you take care of each other. There are so many things there that discipleship touches that it just needs to be, we need to wholly embrace that into our lives and live like that.
Right, right. Good stuff. One of the things we also, it's for what pastors in general are tempted to do is to want to tell you all the good things all the time, you know, and not say some of the challenges, because challenges sometimes make you feel like, well, we're not spiritual enough, or we did something wrong, or whatever. But the reality is that if you're an individual believer, or if we're a community as a church, are moving forward following God, there are challenges to face. And we have challenges to face. I don't really have to explain that to you. You know what those are. You know how that feels. We're all dealing in a world right now that is very unstable. We're unstable in every way in our nation. We're unstable as a society. We're unstable as a culture. We're unstable as far as an economy, not just in our nation, but in the entire world. We're unstable.
We started a church in the middle of a horrible recession.
Yeah, we didn't know that.
Yeah, that wasn't the intention, but...
But those things are all, those are challenges that we face. And not only that, Ephesians, Paul tells us, this is the life of the disciple. And this was hard for me to grasp whenever it's so easy to talk about Jesus, and as Scott talks about and painting the picture of a Christian as a pink unicorn pooping rainbows. You know, that's what we often want to talk about. See, I give you credit for that. I would never use that inappropriate.
Somebody please get your phone out and tweet that. that's the most important part of today's
thing. There are challenges, and this is what Paul says. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, which Paul obviously was not a part of at a church in the 20th century. I'll tell you that. We do wrestle against each other, and we shouldn't. We do wrestle against flesh and blood. What he says, we do not wrestle. That's not really who our enemy is. Even today, even when churches are mad at each other, and even some of you have been following the news of what the battle between our city and a church in town, you know, those are all issues that are going to boil to the surface that we're going to have to address. But the real issue that we face as a community and as Christians, we don't battle against people. We think we do. That's a diversion. But we battle against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And what I would say, add to what Paul said, I also battle against me. You know, I struggle against myself. I am sometimes my worst enemy.
And Paul says the same thing.
Yeah, he does. He says, hey, I don't do the things I want to do. I do all the things I don't want to do. I mean, we battle against those things. So there are challenges. And for us to walk through Pollyanna saying, hey, we built some wells. Life is great. Would be to ignore the very fact that we live in a world that is still at war. And that war is going to continue until God comes back and says, wiping this out and I'm creating a new place.
Yeah, I think one of the things that Mark and I have come to appreciate is our distaste for church hype. Every Sunday is not our best Sunday. I can't go home and tweet, this was the greatest Sunday ever. We had a great attendance this morning in spite of the rain. Come on, folks. Some days it's just hard. Some days a Sunday is hard. Sometimes there's spiritual warfare going on inside of here. Sometimes you leave here thinking, my goodness, I mean, Satan's just everywhere. And he's screwing up everything we try and do and everything every family here tries to do. So sometimes, you know, that doesn't draw a lot of people to your church, though, when you tweet that, put that on your Facebook update. Boy, today just stunk. It was awful.
Scott was terrible today.
Scott was terrible. Mark just was not prepared.
Thanks. Yeah. Yeah, and that is true, and that is one of the challenges we face in our city. Just to be straight up with you, one of the challenges we face and that we have learned, we had great ideas. We were great church planners before we planted a church. I've said that more than one time.
I mean, tell them what we drove our attendance to in our first few months.
Yeah, we started out with 180 people, and we drove it down to 60 in no time. So nobody's asking us to write any leadership
blogs. So we don't talk about numbers very much.
That's right. But there is a sense that church is supposed to meet our needs. Let me just say this. If you remember back to when we talked about the body, when the church is talked about, the church is not this, okay? It is not Sunday morning sound system lights, a prepared sermon, and prepared music. The church are the people of God who have been called out to follow him. It is a family of believers of all time. And when we started, we were really frustrated with some of our backgrounds in church and just some of the stupid stuff that the gospel is thrown to the side so we can deal with carpet colors and hymn book colors and which version of the Bible should you use. And those things just really frustrated us. But the bottom line is that is still our family.
That's right.
And it may very well be that God is calling us to stuff, that maybe he's using them in another way, but we're still the same family.
Sure.
But what we have learned is that people look for a church based on what do you have to offer me? Well, that's not what the church is.
You know,
I don't have anything to offer you, to be honest.
If we take that example, let's just take that. We just said, we think that the church is here to serve us. It's actually the exact opposite. If the church is the whole body of believers in the world, we're here to serve the church.
Yes.
It's completely reversed what we're looking for.
Yeah, we give rather than what do we look. And I'm as guilty as anyone else is about that. But that is built within our society. That is built within our nation. That is how we come up believing life is supposed to work. And the church is opposite of that. And so one of the challenges is fighting that consumeristic nature. It's not just at Christmas. It's 365 days a year. What I would challenge you to do is if you gained anything within your family from Advent conspiracy, do not let it stop. Conspire the whole year. And Jesus will be glorified. And whenever that happens, You will experience things that you will never be able to use a credit card for. That is when the church is at work and the church is the church, there is nothing like it. That's when worship, for me, worship is not just the music, it is the involvement of the community. Because we are the family of God called out to be His children, to be in this world sharing the gospel. But there are challenges that we face in learning how to do that. And we've had to overcome some of the consumerism.
Yeah, some of the consumeristic things, some of the, you know, like Mark said, we were the greatest church planters ever when we started. We went to all the seminars. Matter of fact, I even had a head start on him. I had gone to one the year before he did. So, man, we looked at this and we looked at what other people were doing and successfully doing by numbers. I mean, we would thought, you start in a theater, you grow to a couple of services, then you move out and you once you've got to that core group there has grown to some size that's sustainable, then you go out and you get you a piece of property and you build you an economical building, you just keep growing and growing and multiple services and more, and then I get to come on full time and you guys buy me a new ZR1 Corvette, and well, maybe that's a little stretch, but really we didn't know what to expect. We were just faithful in doing what we thought God was showing us to do. And we had that conversation yesterday. Yeah, we've made some mistakes along the way, but we can't really sit back and say, God was leading us in that direction, we just ignored it. We really don't feel we've done that. Now, why this place isn't at 500 people today? Ask God.
And I think, too, that is, and for some of you, you could care less about this stuff.
Right.
Scott and I, we think about this stuff, but you probably, a lot of you guys, you don't care. But for us, sometimes our sense of success is a number of people that are here. I know that shocks you, but what we have learned is Jesus ran off a whole lot more people than he attracted. And that's not our desire to run anybody off, but being a disciple is more important than being a big, showy church. And that has always been our heart. And for those of you who have been with us from the beginning, I believe that is your heart too. That's why you're still with us. We want to be authentic in who we are. And if that means that we have 5 people, we have 5 people. If that means we have 5,000 people, I'll probably retire.
Yeah.
But, no matter what that means, being authentic disciples is more important than any arbitrary
number,
judgment of success.
Yeah, and one of the things is, I don't want Mark or myself, when we talk about us, because we are the current elders here that have been growing the church, trying to, doing what God wants us to do through it. And I don't want to get in God's way in either direction, number-wise. If He's trying to grow us bigger and things, I don't want to hamper that. Or if He's telling us, you're going the wrong direction, you need to just be satisfied where you're at. I don't want to get in His way either way, because it's His church. It's not my church, Mark's church, your church. It's Jesus' church.
Amen.
And I want to do what He wants us to do, no matter what that looks like. I mean, in our city, it's an adventure. Starting a church plant. I mean, honestly, we didn't know exactly how people would react. You can do the exact same thing here. You can do the exact same thing somewhere else. You can do the exact same thing where Will's at out in Seattle and get completely different results. And I think a lot of that has to do with what God wants you to do.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes He just wants you to kind of chill and listen and make disciples and let Him worry about all the rest of it.
Yeah. So we're excited about it was somewhat freeing for us to let those things go and just to completely talk about, and this is where I love the discipleship team, completely talk about what does it look like to be a disciple, and more importantly, as a faith community, how do we lead somebody who's not a disciple to become one? That it is not just a busy, group of events that wears them out and takes their time, but it really brings life and helps them become like Jesus. Some of the other challenges, and we're going to move on from this, but some of the other challenges that we have, we do have a great kids ministry. It's the best Deidre and I have ever been a part of. It is not the largest church we've ever been a part of. It is the best kids ministry we have ever been a part of. And it takes a lot of people, and so we're going to continue to ask for volunteers, not because, we're dying and nobody wants to volunteer, but because we just, on average, we will have between 30 and in some weeks, 50% of our attendance will be children. And that takes a lot of adults. And if you decide that you do not want to babysit, because you can babysit kids, give them sugar, pop something on the TV, throw a bunch of games in there, and shut the doors, and so the parents can't hear them. You can do that. But to invest in children and make a difference in their lives and teach them what it means to follow Jesus along the way takes time, it takes people, it takes commitment.
That's right.
And so we will be continuing. That's going to continue to be a challenge. I love it. I love that challenge. That's the kind of challenge I want us to face. We do have some financial challenges. We are a self-sufficient church, barely. We've lost some contributors over the last year. We lost our largest contributor, which was helped us start Journey.
Which was a planned loss. No?
Yeah, an organization, the Tennessee Baptist Convention, that helped us to start and gave us a certain amount of money to be
have a startup.
To start up, and it ended. So, but we are continuing to move forward. We're going to talk about money. We don't talk about money because we want to get rich. We talk about it because that's one of the ways that we honor God. We worship through giving. And so that is a challenge we're going to face over this next month. We're going to just kind of share some of the things that we've just kind of taken care of.
Yeah.
We've just taken care of the finances. We've taken care of the books. And we believe that it's time as a community that the community begins to fully lead and take over some of those things. And so during this series of Kaleo, we're going to be sharing, you know, more than you want to know about Journey. Not because it's about to go belly up, but because we believe this is the time for to say, hey, this is no longer a church plant. This is time for us to be a family and a community and make these decisions.
And again, that's some of mine and Mark's background. We both grew up in church, and the number one complaint you hear about churches is they talk about money too much. They talk about money. They talk about money. Well, guess what? It'd be a lot colder in here today if we didn't have a little bit of money. I mean, it takes some money to even keep facilities open, you know, and so we're hesitant to talk about that because we don't want it to sound like we're always badgering you and you're not. You guys are generous. I mean, look what you did at Christmas. You're generous. But it does take a minimal level of financial support to keep us running, you know. Some of you have followed Mark's own life, the ups and downs of starting out being able to pay him full time here to where he made the decision to go back and work full time at Home Depot until we could get on our feet enough that now he only works a part-time job. And that's not the answer for all this, too, guys. Is when I talk about Mark, and I can talk about this freely, I don't draw a check from here. I don't know if most of you guys know that. I do not. I do this as a volunteer because I love what we're doing. I feel passionate about it. I feel this is what God leads me to do. But for Mark, for him to be full-time here, fantastic. I would love to see that, but not so that Mark can share more of the load. He shares enough of the load as is. I just would like for him to have that comfort in his life to be able to do that. But the answer is not for Mark to work less outside of Journey so he can work more in Journey. We need to come together as community in Journey and share the load. Mark doesn't need to be keeping all the books. Mark doesn't need the load of all that. We all need to come together and start sharing that. So the answer is not to free up his time, but to make him a more whole, healthier guy and more rounded where he doesn't have to worry and split his time between places.
Yeah, that's true. And there's so many volunteers that help. That's the second reference to being short, fat, and now round.
I said you were well rounded, though. Thank I mean, you. That should mean something.
But yes, we want you to know what's going on there. We're going to share those things with you. One of the challenges we also face is just building relationships among new people. We've been a part of churches, Scott and I both, that are enormous. I mean, you could walk in, and I don't care who you are or what you look like, you can find a peer group. You know, if you've got 5,000 people to draw from, you'll find a peer group. But when you have 50 people in a room, it's sometimes hard to build relationships because we are different. God likes to do things differently than I like to do things. We don't spend our days off doing the same stuff. Sometimes we do.
Yeah, occasionally.
But we don't. And so building that community is a challenge where we step out of ourselves and say it is not just about us finding people just like us, about us being a family. And I don't know what your family's like, but there are some people in my family, obviously not my parents, they're here, so I can't say that. No, I'm kidding. But there are, every one of us have family members. They're that family member. You know what I'm talking about? Josh is definitely that family member for any family, probably. But Deidre and I are that family member in different groupings of the family. But it's about loving each other and going outside of our comfort zones to build relationships with people.
And one of the things that Mark's talking about there, the awesome part of community here is no matter your personality, your likes, dislikes, God can use your individual calling through journey. Mark and I don't do ministry the exact same way. We don't have the exact same likes, dislikes, hobbies, peer group interest, any of that. But we're able to partner through journey to be whole Christians and be able to minister and be able to do it as partners in this. And it just amazes Mark and I so many times that we will be thinking of things individually, thinking of things for journey, thinking of ministry opportunities, and we'll come together at staff meeting or lunch or wherever and sit down and start talking about it, and we'll say, oh, wow, I've been thinking the same thing. Man, that's God all over that. That's not me and Mark. That's God guiding two people into the same direction to accomplish a purpose. And, man, that's just, that's almost freaky scary when that happens. I mean, you don't expect it sometimes. It's like, you really been thinking that? That's burdened me too. So, I mean, it's just so great to be able to use your own individual talents and personality through a group of people.
God has really been good. And that's one of the things Scott and I, we've just, God has continued to move us in consistent directions together, which we're excited about. I want to share just a few minutes because I just want to share with you where we see ourselves going this year, where we feel God is calling us to. Those are some of the challenges, but that is not what we want to define who Journey is. We want, there's a bigger picture that is calling us to that. Bottom line, from the very beginning, our desire was to make disciples in Chattanooga. Always been our goal. A disciple is not just somebody who attends church. A disciple is active in the community, is investing in other people. And some of the things the discipleship team is actually talking about will mean that some of the people that eventually we have the opportunity to disciple may never even walk into a worship service at Journey. I think that's very kingdom. It's not about building Journey. It's not about anything. It's about building the kingdom. This is the passage we're going to be talking about for the rest of this month. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, "For to this you have been called." Now, this is key, important stuff. This is stop what you're doing. Listen to what I'm saying. This is what I want for you, what Jesus says. "To this you have been called." This is the thing that I want to grip you. It's actually interesting. If you want to go read the rest of the context of this passage is talking about our submitting to authority. I think it's so fascinating. Don't argue against who's the president. Don't argue against who's in Congress. Don't just get so worked up over those things. God's in control. "But to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you." We suffer sometimes at the hands of those who lead us. "Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example." Boom. Jesus is the example that we are to follow.
Yeah, the other translation for suffered there in some Bibles is he died. We have to die to self and put somebody else in control of our lives. It's not up to us anymore.
Yeah. "Leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps." If there's one verse that I hope will just envelop who we are as a community, it is that. We follow his example. We walk in his steps. "He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return." Or, you know, when somebody chewed him out, or when somebody spit on him, or somebody flipped him off or cut him off at a red light, he didn't return the favor, which is what some of our first instincts is to do. "When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten," though can you imagine what you could do, what Jesus could have done? He didn't try to return what he received. He suffered. "He continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but now return to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. For this we have been called, to recognize that Jesus gave up his life so that we could have life, and that we would follow in his footsteps. For me, discipleship is those who are following in the footsteps of Jesus, helping other people follow in those same footsteps up to what they know. Now, at some point, somebody's going to know as much or more than I do. They're going to learn from somebody else who might be able to take them down whatever specific steps they're going through in their life.
Yeah, for me, that is our kids group from kindergarten to fifth grade. Man, they ask some hard questions in there, don't they, Mark?
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. And I just, what would it look like if you are being invested, someone's investing in you and your own faith, but at the same time you are investing in someone else and their faith, you are being drawn and grown at the same time you are drawing and growing someone else to what you have already learned. That is the picture of what discipleship is.
Yeah, and the thing, and we've talked about this a lot this morning, the trust there and not worrying about the fights within the body and stuff. The part that really jumps out to me in this verse is, but he continued trusting himself to him who judges justly. God's got it. He's got your back. He's going to judge justly. It may not even happen here on this earth, but don't worry about it. God will take care of the details.
Yes. So you're going to hear us for the rest of this series and really for the rest of this year, but specifically for the next 6 months, we're going to be honing in on discipleship. The discipleship team is going to be working on that. They're going to be, we're working on several things. One is an apprenticeship type discipleship which I have never been a part of before. So we're working through some of these issues and determining, and this is what the discipleship team did. They literally went back and read the Gospels. We read the Gospels together and said, what did Jesus do? Now, how do we do that in Chattanooga? And so we're working through some of those issues, and we're going to be sharing those things along the way. And I cannot tell you I'm more excited about that than just about anything I've done in ministry ever, because I believe it has real teeth to lead people, no matter what their background is, no matter what they look like or what they wear or how they smell, it will lead them to be a follower of Jesus. We can do that, and that is what we are called to.
Yeah, and we believe that all ministry at Journey, ministry in Chattanooga, ministry in the United States, ministry around the world, all of that flows out of your life being a disciple. They're not programs. All this flows out of us wanting to do what God would have us to do in our communities, however broad that community is. Mm. And, you know, it's not programs and missions and ministries and stuff. That's the terminology we use for all. It is the incredible outpouring that God has blessed and given you so much that you want to give back.
Yeah, yeah. Here's what I want to leave you with today, and Scott and I talked about this. This has been actually a constant theme that has come up, not just with us, but with our families and with many of you. I've had this conversation with many of you. So what does this practically look like? We're going to talk about discipleship. Great. What does that look like? What does that mean? Are we just going to keep doing this thing and keep talking about discipleship? We're going to be focusing on four key things for the next 6 months. These four things are not necessarily new for some of you that have been here. The way we're going to do them is going to be a little different. This one of the things that we have to determine in order to lead people to be disciples in a way that really makes sense and is practical, is it has to fit a rhythm of life. I don't know about you, but Deidre and I, when we talk about adding another event or activity to our lives, we just want to throw in the towel and go back to bed. There has to be a rhythm of life that works. It has to be practical. You can't just say, go to work 40 hours a day, come to Journey 40 hours a week. Yeah, that would be good. Go to work 40 hours, some of us feel like we have to do. Go to work 40 hours a week, come to church 40 hours a week, spend time with your family 30 minutes a week. That's not what it looks like. There has to be a rhythm of life that we can live life following Christ, loving our families, loving our neighbors, doing our jobs. And we still, as Scott says, we still have free time.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you know, and I think you mentioned something, and we didn't plan this part this morning, but I think this is a great opportunity to thank my family and Mark's family for the sacrifices they make for us to be able to do this.
Yeah,
I mean,
very true.
Mine, not so much differently as Mark's. Mark's family life got kind of turned upside down in all this. You know, the way he works, the things that are going on, their rhythm of life. You know, they have about as much rhythm as I do. Now, if you've ever known, I can't even clap in worship because I'll get you off beat. That's kind of what happened, and his family has been so great to us to be able to do that. And I thought that was a good time to just mention how much everyone sacrificed and how much we do appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, and they have. And thank you. Thank you for saying that. Here's what I know about rhythm of life. You cannot add church and Jesus to your life and have a rhythm that works. You cannot do it. It is impossible. People have tried. People have failed. The only way to have a rhythm of life with Jesus is to take the rhythm that you marched to before and you die to it. There is no other way. You cannot add it to your normal life. There's a reason that Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. There's a reason that he said, you have to die to yourself in order to live. There's a reason he said those things. Because people for centuries have been trying for longer than, I don't know, what's a thousand? Millennials. I don't even know my years. But for millennia have tried to add Jesus, and it doesn't work. It's about saying, this rhythm of life doesn't work. I need to replace it.
And what happens when you try and add that Jesus component, you tend to compartmentalize that Jesus component to where he only exists for an hour on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Because that's all you could fit him in.
And you'll read a blog, or you'll get an email, or you'll talk to a friend that manages their time better than you do, and you will feel like a failure in life. Because we cannot manage what Jesus wants to do in our lives. He wants to completely create a new person in you. 2 Corinthians says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Why do so many Christians feel like the same old thing with now the burden of going to church? And he says, you are a new creation because of what Jesus did for you. The old is gone. The new has come. And that is just hard to do. So there's four things that we're going to focus on, and then we're going to close out with this. There's four things we're going to focus on. Number one, we are going to continue to focus on our Sunday morning event. We want you here. This is not just an ego trip for whoever's leading worship and whoever's teaching. This is an opportunity to invite friends for us to come and serve together, worship together, give together. We are still going to continue to do that. It's still going to be a focus. It is going to probably not be as much of a focus as it has been in years past.
But it is still one of the front doors to discipleship.
Yes. Just attending a Sunday morning event will not make you a disciple. But it is a great way for a community to be together, to talk together, to commiserate together, to suffer together, to carry one another's burdens, but also to worship together, to love together, to serve each other, to give to each other. It's a beautiful place for us to do that. So we're going to continue doing Sunday mornings. To lead down the path of discipleship, we're going to begin in February a new seminar called Starting Point. Now, Starting Point is going to be for anybody to be a part of. And in Starting Point, that is going to be a front door to what we've been talking about the last few months of membership. But you don't have to become a member to go through Starting Point. It is going to be a one-day seminar where we're going to give you the basic tenets of faith in Christ. What are the basic beliefs? It's not everything. Just these are the basic tenets of faith in Christ that we find in Scripture. What does it look like to be a part of a faith community? What does it look like to be a part of Journey? Where are we going? What do we look like as a faith community for those that are new to Journey? We also want to show you if you're a Christian, what is your spiritual gift? And we want to help you plug into an area of service that God is already working within you, not just because we need something to do. We need an event to do. We want God to be working alongside of us, or us working alongside of God, not forcing it into some weird model. So Starting Point is going to begin the first Sunday of February. We're going to have that on Sunday afternoons, and we're going to have it as long as there is a need. So we'll have it monthly if we have enough people wanting to go through it each month, or we'll have it quarterly if we don't. Starting Point is a new thing we're going to be starting. It's a way to get started in understanding about faith, what is Scripture, how to read Scripture, getting involved in the community, and that's going to be a front door for membership as well. Third thing we're going to do is we're going to continue to focus on service. Why do we focus on service? So we can build a big church? Jesus said, I have not come to be served. I have come to serve. There is no better way for us to walk in the footsteps of Jesus than to serve other people. And so we're going to continue to focus on that, not just serving on Sunday mornings, but serving in our community, serving at different events here, but serving people outside of Journey. Different ways of serving. We want to continue to focus on that. The fourth thing that we want to continue to focus on are journey groups. We want to try something different. Journey groups that we have found work for a small number of people. It's hard to put the time in. Childcare is always an issue. We have so many young families. People will come in and they get really excited up front, but it kind of loses steam in the back. And sometimes it's just uncomfortable going into somebody's home. So we're working towards something that we want to try, and that is groups at Journey. Picking a night during the week where we provide childcare here, we can have groups here, and we can build that community. We're also looking at doing things differently with our groups where you are not required to be in the same group every single week. Now, relationships are built whenever we spend time with people. So we have a lot of things we're kind of milling over about how this is going to work, but we want to try something different. Next week, I'm going to hand you a survey and ask you some questions. I need some feedback from you to help us make the decision of how to do group starting and journey. I want to ask every one of you to consider doing that. Some of these groups will be very content-based. Some of these groups will be very life issue-based, things that you share, likes that you common interests that you have. There's going to be a lot of different ways that we can form these groups, and I'm going to share more with that with you, but that is going to be a big priority. What we believe the discipleship team is doing is they are going to be coming in with the back end, developing something that will go beyond journey groups, a type of discipleship that is not readily done, at least anywhere I know of, but a way they can have real teeth. So in essence, what you may even see here are some steps to deeper discipleship, going from Sunday to starting point, serving journey groups, moving on into deeper discipleship, which we're still working on that component. Those are the four things we want to focus on. And we don't have all the answers.
No, certainly.
But when's the last time we did?
it's worked good so far.
Well, yeah. So those are the four things. Along the way, there are going to be some other activities that are going to be going on. Room in the Inn is going to continue to be something we're going to be working with, and you can sign up to be a part of that. We're still going to continue to work with 1040 Connections. We're still going to be working with Come On, Let's Go, and you're going to be hearing more about that in the coming weeks as an outreach into our city. We're going to continue to have events. Next Friday night, we're going to have a family movie night here. Bring your kids. We're going to watch, I think, Kung Fu Panda 2, pop popcorn, have Capri Suns for the kids. That's going to be Friday night at 6. We're going to move the chairs out, bring your kids, blankets, pillows.
And have your friends bring their kids.
And bring a friend with their kids.
Great opportunity.
Yeah, we're going to put it on that screen and pump it through the sound system. It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. Parents, you can watch the movie. You can hang out and talk. It's going to be just, so we're going to continue doing those. Women's ministry is going to be starting something new on the third Friday of every month. They're going to be doing different activities. I think there's a game night the third Friday of this month, and it's going to be meeting at Stacy's house. So we'll put more information in that. So those kinds of activities are going to be happening. Group building activities where we get together and have fun are going to be happening. Behind the scenes, the other event that we're going to share during this series is our elders are going to be coming into place. And so next week I'm going to be sharing with you the elder, kind of a form that we're using to help us start the process of moving elders, more elders, additional elders other than just Scott and I into that process. I'll share that with you next week. All those things we'll just kind of share as we go, but the four things that we want to focus on for the next 6 months, we want to ask you to commit to, is being a regular attender. Doesn't mean you come every Sunday, but a regular attender as much as you can. That builds relationships. That helps you invest in guests. It serves each other. It's the family coming together. We want to ask you to consider becoming a member if you're a Christian and you would like to do that. The front door is still starting point. We'll talk about membership and what does that look like. It's not your name on a roll. If you're a member of the body of Christ, you're a member. But we want to be to develop a way that we can be invested in each other and in this community. We'll talk about that through starting point. We want to ask you to serve. Unapologetically ask you to serve. That's just part of following Jesus. And we want to ask you to be a part of a group. We'll share more of those details. Next week we'll have a a little survey that you can help us kind of tweak it. We want to ask you to be a part of those things. Bring what you have to the table. You don't have to bring something you don't have. You don't have to be somebody that you're not. And you don't have to serve in a way that you hate. Bring what you have to the table. And as a community together, let's grow together. That's what my hope is.
Yeah, absolutely.
For our community.
Is to see us come more tightly knit, yeah, as a group of believers, that it's more than just this hour on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
That we meet, or when Mark's teaching an hour and a half.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, that's what we wanted to share with you today. And we actually did better on our time than I thought, even though everyone else is thinking, I wish they
would
be quiet.
Yeah, we did. We actually cut out some content, so you should be happy with that.
Let me just say that on behalf of Deidre and I, and I know Scott and Karen, and for all that are involved here, let me just say, we love you guys. We're glad to be in community with you. We're on a journey as much as you are, and we believe that we can build each other up in faith and in knowledge of who Jesus is and what it looks like to follow in his footsteps. So for the rest of this series, we're going to really more tangibly pour out of 1 Peter 2:21. What does it look like to follow in the footsteps of Jesus? We're going to be doing that together as a family. If you are here today and you're a guest, we would love to just get some information, just an email address from you on the yellow card. You can check some boxes if you want some more information. But we would love to have you to go on this journey with us for 2012, and for you to invite your friends to come on it with us. We're on a journey to follow Jesus and to lead others to do the same. Would you pray with me? Father, God, I pray that in this room, you would do incredible things in the life of every person that's here. God, you are the creator of all things. You are the redeemer of our lives, our hearts, and our souls. God, I thank you for the sacrifice and for the suffering that you went through, bloody torture, so that we could have a relationship with you and that we could walk in your steps and lead others to do the same. And so, Father, I pray as we take these next steps, we believe that these are the steps that you're leading us in. Let us always follow you faithfully and not anything else. So, God, grip our hearts, grip our minds, give us discernment so that we can be your church in this community. Father, I pray that there's anybody here today and they need a fresh start, they need a second chance within life. God, you are the author of second chances, and you have given that through Jesus Christ. And so, God, we ask that you would just hear what is going on within their hearts. Firmly believe that you know what is in our minds and our hearts much more fully than what we say through our lips. So God, if there is anybody here that needs a second chance, I pray that you would hear their prayer. They would submit themselves to following you. God, they would experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit working within their life. I just thank you for all that you have done, all the fullness that we have as a community, all the fullness that we have as a church. And God, we submit ourselves to you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.